Hello, 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 again, hello. Okay, open your Bibles to 1 Peter 5. I wanted to share a quick email that I got from Germany. I did not respond. I'm kind of behind on my emails. Forgive me. Sometimes I just get so overwhelmed. And so I like to share them with everyone. This one's, I'm just going to share part of it because it's a lot of personal things. But this is from a woman, and she said, the former church I was leading worship in was lukewarm, no meat in the sermons, and full of narcs. Isn't that a good summary right there? So I got out during the crisis, as we all know what that is, the worldwide plan here. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm so glad you came out of these movements. They are even here in Germany, and I fell for it too. But I was always a little skeptical deep down in my heart. I never believed it so fully. But now everything is crystal clear. Deceivers, God will judge them. I'm still blown away how massive and deep the deception is and how many people are so blinded. They don't even ask one question. It's horrible and crazy. But the Bible told us there are only few on the narrow path. Very, very few. We few awakened Christians here in Germany stand strong. We wait and pray and want to endure to the end, but we are few. The situation in Germany is terrible. We think our country will be destroyed. I'm not going to go into what she said, but we all know what's happening because a lot of these nations are going rogue. Call it the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod is happening. Everybody is unhappy with our political leaders. We had big farmers protest in the beginning of this year, but without results. We have protests and demonstrations since March of 2020, and now on. We had big protests in Berlin, but nothing happened. We were completely ignored. They just laugh about it. And on she goes. And thank you so much for that. She said, I feel like God set me back on my track, on my path. I should have walked all the time. It's like back to the roots, back to the first love, and he is my first love. And I want to say that's so true of all of us, that regardless of where we've come from or where we've been, we have to return to that first love. Remember when you first accepted Christ and how the world didn't mean anything, it was just learning about him. And unfortunately, we got stuck in some of the bad churches, but our hearts were right. And God sees our hearts, right? So let's turn here to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and let's look at verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now that word suffered there means endure evils, hardships, and troubles. And in this world, there's going to be suffering. Many of you have suffered. Some suffering is still to come. We don't even know what's around the corner, but this earth is the shadow. Psalms 23, the shadow of darkness. And we have to keep our eyes on the big picture. The big picture is being with Jesus forever and ever and ever, right? So what is this life? It's just a vapor compared to eternity. But because we haven't been taught properly that we have to endure hardness, many people fall away. The cares of the world come. All the things that are happening now in the world, people are just going after their addictions. They're just drinking. They're facing so much trauma, and they haven't been mentally prepared because the churches have failed. many churches. If you've had some teaching on warfare and you know how to stand, having all to stand, you're one of the blessed ones, because many are just seeking comfort. And I remember in the late 80s or the 90s when our church took out the altars and put in a stage for entertainment. And I grieved that day. I, first of all, being one that started this church and had no say in this church, after a while, I was just like, why did they get rid of the altars? Stop leading people to the Lord. And it happened pretty much worldwide at that time. So the enemy continues to recycle his old tricks. There's nothing new under the sun, and that's why it's good to know real history, not the fake history that we've been taught, but the real history of what happens to nations. And history shows that economic sabotage, where the resources of the targeted countries are destabilized and eventually collapse. We're seeing a deliberate destruction of our financial systems, our food systems. We could go on and on about the different things that we are seeing, the farmland being taken away, meat being substituted for this lab-grown meat. And I remember it was about 2015 that I started seeing things. It took me a while to wake up to things. But I remember reading articles on how in the future our food would have no nutrition. And without nutrition in our food, people are going to get sicker and sicker. And all the different things that we see that are happening today, that we have to have our faith in the Lord and we have to keep our eyes on Him. We have to trust Him like never before, because we haven't even been taught to pray properly in our churches. We were name it and claim it, decree and declare, and you didn't need God. And as a result of that, a lot of things didn't happen for people. They just backslid, said, well, it didn't work for me. But the truth is, He wants us to be co-laborers with Him. So we do ask, we do pray, we do believe, and there is a part that we do have to play. It's not all up to us, and it's not all up to God. We are partnering together, right? So we see that we're seeing a destabilization in our countries that we've never seen before. And I've been talking about this for years now, about the new system. They call it the reset. You could call it tribulation. You call it whatever you want. But what this system is, it denies the Lord, Jesus. It comes against the Lord and against His anointed. And it's definitely setting up for the book of Revelation, the beast system, which the beast system isn't new, but it's growing and it's rising. And so we have to be prepared, and that's why we needed that whole armor in Ephesians 6, because we are in a spiritual war. And we have to guard our mind, guard our thoughts. And we can't put leaders on a pedestal. Take what you can from anybody that you hear, but you can't worship any man, because none of us have all the truth, right? None of us do. So we have to give room for error and love and forgiveness, but we also have to keep our eyes on the Lord. And so all these things are happening, yet many Christian leaders remain silent. And this is very sad, that the Christians are not being prepared and things are going to take them by surprise. And this has happened in other countries where the pastors did not stand and they bowed to the system and they didn't prepare their people for things that were coming. Germany comes to mind, but Psalms 94 verse 16, who shall rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? God wants us to stand, and having done all, we need to stand. Regardless of where that leads us, we have to stand. 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That word wax there means they're going to advance and they're going to grow. Well, isn't there anything we can do about it? We trust the Lord, because the book of Revelation is prophecy and it has to come to pass. As much as we don't like that, we see Mystery Babylon, we see these things, the scarlet, the whore, the harlot church, we see these things rising. But in the midst of it, God says to trust Him, to walk with Him. And when He walked the earth, He was in warfare Himself, but He walked through the midst of them. I love that. And His supernatural protection guides us and protects us, doesn't it? So in 2 Timothy, I'm just giving you a bunch of scriptures here to begin with. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 5 says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That means we are in battle. We are in war. Not comfort, like many of our churches have taught us. Just come, be entertained, be blessed, feel good, leave, get a prophetic word, it doesn't come to pass. Do this and that, and what happens is you just live from entertainment to entertainment. That's not what the world is about. This is, there is a lot of trauma, pain, and suffering associated with war. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. And spiritually, there's a lot of suffering, trauma, and pain from coming out of some of these churches, which I don't believe the leaders are. Some of them are even saved. They're not definitely committed to preaching the truth, and many of them have sold out, like Judas. Who knows? Only God can judge them. But the Bible says for us to come out of her, my people, come out. So there's sometimes you have to leave situations when you know the truth isn't being preached. It's not just a social club, but we have eternity in view, and we have to be where God wants us to be and help people that need help and really try to lead people. That soul winner spirit has to be revived in us, that we really know, do we care about people, where they're going? Because the false church doesn't want any repentance, any sin. There is no hell. They're teaching all this stuff, and people are being deceived, and the Bible says it's going to continue. But there's many that are in the church that have combat fatigue. Many of them are trying to stand. They go to their leaders, and they tell them, you're teaching false doctrine, you're teaching this and that. I've been here for 20 years, but what happened to you? Why are you not preaching the Bible? Why are you now pushing doctrines of men? It's traumatizing. And it's painful when you feel you have to leave a family. And many of us had to do that. There's nothing worse than leaving loved ones. And I don't know how these people that are building all these bunkers and stuff, they're saving themselves. So regardless of what happens, I don't even want to be here if I'm not witnessing to my love. I'm not going to go try to save myself. We were actually offered years ago, do you want a bunker? We'll protect you, this and that. Will you be one of our leaders? And I'm like, who is this? They wouldn't tell me who they were. Everything's so secretive, you know? Well, God doesn't work in secret. He's a light. And everything the enemy does is secretive, right? So there's a lot of people that are tired right now. They're exhausted, and they face shell shock from the confusion and chaos in the churches and from the churches. So what do we have to do? We have to start. Some of us, we had to start over. I had to basically start over. Okay, what's truth? What's not? Help me, Lord, to know truth. And that's what we have to continually do, because there's a lot of people that are so-called whistleblower truth tellers that really aren't. They're controlled opposition. And when I learned about controlled opposition, it was like, oh, another thing I have to learn about, another deceptive tool. And that's why by their symbols, you shall know a lot about symbols. I'm going to talk that about in a second. But a lot of times people's logos give themselves away. And that's why I've always recommended those books about symbolism, because the enemy works through symbols. It's always a hidden agenda, and you're not supposed to know it. Now in Revelation 17, but God exposes the enemy, doesn't he? Revelation 17:5, Babylon is called Mystery Babylon. And here, the woman on the scarlet beast, and upon her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the mother of harlots. So there's one church with many daughters. Many of us know what that church is. An abomination of the earth. And what does it say? It's full of perversion, and it's full of filth. And the sad thing is that as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, the days of Noah in Genesis 6 said that their thoughts were evil continuously, and the earth was filled with violence. So we know that before the Lord comes again. And the Bible says nobody knows the hour, nobody knows, not the angels or anyone, only the Father knows. So when people tell you they set a date and say this is going to happen, don't listen to them, because they don't know. Only the Father knows. So our hearts are to endure to walk through, to keep being faithful. We're faithful through the end. But here, Babylon means confusion. And are we living in confusion? Things don't even make sense. The things that are supposed to protect you are not protecting you. The things that are supposed to be for your safety, the laws that are being made are not for your protection, right? It's confusion. We just came through 4 years ago, a total confusing thing. We're going to talk about a little bit of how I can say it without getting too much trouble. But the mystery, the Babylon means confusion, but mystery Babylon, according to Strong's Concordance, it's from that word M-U-O, and it means to shut the mouth. A secret or a mystery. Through the idea of silence by initiation. Shutting the mouth because of a secret. The idea here, Mystery Babylon, is silence. Today we're going through silencing of the truth. It's hard to know what to say and not to say because, well, we know what's going on. The narrative is what they want, and if you don't come against, if you don't say what the narrative is, you're disappearing. We're disappearing, but God. So remember the new order. We've talked about this now since 2015. It rejects Jesus Christ, and it rejects Christianity. So the beast system that we talk about, the merchants of the earth are largely, most of them are occultists who run. They run, unfortunately, they run a lot of the everything. They run the education, economics, politics, and religion. The Bible calls it the harlot church, the fake bride. They come in the name of religion, but it's not the religion that we know. The beast system is occultic, and it's also satanic. And that's why we are not to love this world. Sometimes we just have idols. We want to have the best house. We want this. If I had to do it over, I'd live a lot more simple. Because in the church is where I learned idolatry, covetous. Have faith and you can have this and that. And what people actually did was they ended up more in debt. And God doesn't want us in debt. And we could live a lot simpler, a lot easier, without the pressure of trying to prove you have faith, on and on. But it's just the whole world system is being shaken right now. And the wearing of the veil, let's call it that, which you all know what we've been through, right? Over one's mouth is a token of submission. And when you put that on for the first time, I can tell you one thing. You didn't feel right. You didn't feel right. You felt this is really wrong. There's something so wrong. So it's a token of submission, a transformation from one role to another, to be muzzled or to shut your mouth. Now this is a quote, and I'm talking about rituals of this veil. There was also something that really happened to our whole world. It took a lot to plan this for the whole world. And this is a whole world order. This is a whole new system of totalitarianism. And people that I'm talking to from different countries are saying, what's happening? Things have never happened like they did. But it seemed to have started to me on the real down low 4 years ago when all of this started happening, the ritual of this silencing. And I don't care if you think, oh, this person's going to get us out of it or that one is. Remember where it started. Many people don't remember where it started. Don't forget. Don't have amnesia. Because these are the kings of the earth. These are the people of the earth. And it's going to be such massive deception because they're going to come in this time in the name of Christianity. And a lot of these Christians that are on these board, I've studied them. Some of them were my friends. Now I know they are not serving the same Jesus. But a quote from Manly P. Hall, a Mason, quote, with the mask, something happened. A real spirit of ancient and primary fear moved in on these people. They actually subconsciously were terrified. I see people now wearing these in cars, their windows closed, driving down, terrified. And this is what the enemy wants. He wants you terrified. He wants suffering. You say, oh, come on, really? You can't understand a devil because you're not. You're not one. And you don't have the mentality. Just think someone that had it made to be with God. And he walked away and rejected God, the perfect everything. And he wanted to be God. Just think of that. And because of that, he corrupted himself. So this is who we're dealing with. That's why the Bible says be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil, and he wants to devour you. And one of the main reasons he wants to devour you is through deceiving you. So that's why God tells us, you have an enemy. Know how he works. Know how his devices operate. Expose him so you don't walk in that. Don't walk in that deception. I want to repeat that quote. With the mask, something happened. A real spirit of ancient and primary fear moved in on these people. They actually subconsciously were terrified. And he's talking here about the rituals that they go through and the levels and the secretness of these societies and what they go through. And you cannot tell what you know. If you break their oaths, bad things happen to you. Now, I'm just sharing this for teaching purposes only, okay? It took a lot of planning to cover the face for the whole world. It symbolizes the death of the old identity into a new identity. Symbolism is used in the occult. Now in the end times, occult, this is what they want. Their new system isn't really new. They want to go back to the old. They want to bring back their religions. They want to bring back their gods, their sacrifices, their perversion, their incest, their cannibalism, all of these things, like as of the days of Noah. And we're starting to see some of this bleed through, right? And it's hard to even believe, but God told us as the days of Noah. So you have to study there in Genesis 6. What was it like that God just regretted that he even made man? Because they were so evil. So symbolism is used in the occult. The masses are not to know the true meanings behind the symbols. Masks were a symbol. It was a symbolism. It was a ritual of going from one order to the next. And with that, all of a sudden now, all goes the mom and pop stores. I just read just today some things. Walmart closing 23 stores in 8 states. Target closing 9 stores. Walgreens, 900 stores. Lowe's, 50 stores. Macy's, 150 stores. This never happened before. The Dollar Tree, over 1,000 stores. Foot Locker, 400 stores. Kroger grocery chain, 413 stores. We can't lose our grocery stores. Come on. Kroger grocery store. Okay, U.S. Bank, 23 branches. Wells Fargo, 60 branches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On and on it goes. And the economy is said to be striving and thriving and doing well. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being lied to. How about you? So symbolism, going from one reset, they're resetting things. The masses aren't to know the true meanings behind these symbols. They're hidden behind these symbols, but these face coverings to cover one's mouth, they suppress the free voice. And you think about all the things that have happened now, even on social media, how you can't talk freely. Suppresses the free voice. An initiation into a new system. A ritual of submission. And they know who didn't submit. They know who you are. They know who. An example of these symbolisms, because a lot of people are asking, why is the X showing up everywhere? Why is everything X now? Everything is X. Well, of course it can mean a lot of different things. But it's also an ancient symbol for change or transformation. X is also a sign of the Egyptian sun god Osiris. What does that mean? It's a sign of Lucifer. These new systems are Luciferian. They are totally anti-X, against Christ. X has a long history of use in the ancient mystery religions, and it is used to this day. X is a tumbling cross, or a cross performing a somersault. It's antichrist in nature. I always didn't like it when they always said Xmas. It's just something that just seemed like they took Christ out of it, right? Well, the whole mass thing, of course, was Catholic and Rome and all that anyway, but it's antichrist in nature. Osiris, what's Osiris? And I say this because we're going to see more and more of these symbols, because they believe they have to put out these symbols, and it's drawing on these gods. And the more they do it and they show honor, their handshakes, their symbolism, it's everywhere. If you know what to look for, you see it everywhere. You can see the so-called Christian leaders that are doing the symbolism on their books, all over the place. Osiris is the all-seeing eye. You never used to see people with one eyeball on t-shirts. And I went to a store like a year ago and I was like, it's everywhere. It's like the fashionable thing now to have Osiris on your person somewhere. It's also on every dollar bill. So this is not new. This has been going on for a long time. And way before we were born into this matrix. And Jesus came to set us free from this world and this world system and this beast system and this slavery that they want. They want to get rid of not just the middle class. They want to get rid of the homeless. There's a whole bunch of things that they want, a ruling class, and then they want slaves. Oh, that can't be true. Look in the Bible. You'll see it in the Old Testament, the stories of when they didn't serve the Lord and how their enemies ruled over them. Those stories are in there for reasons. You can find the X on walls of the Egyptian pyramids. The sign of Osiris, the sun god. The pharaohs had their legs crossed in burial as devotion to Osiris. Queen Elizabeth had an X on her crown. The pagans worshiped the sun as a god. And this is not new. This happened over in Ezekiel 8:16. Read that whole chapter. Even in the Lord's house, they pretended to be someone by day, but were someone else by night. A lot of these people that we think are someone, they're not who you think they are. And that's why the book of Jeremiah is wonderful about exposing false prophets. We're talking about false politicians, false, not just in the church, but also outside of the church. Because Ezekiel 8:16, 25 men had their backs toward the temple of the Lord and with their faces toward the east. That's a sign that they worship the sun toward the east. And in Romans 18:21, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things. They worshiped the sun. They did in the Old Testament, and it has not stopped. Their new order, their new system, they want to bring this out into the open. Just like the days of Noah, they don't want to be hindered. They're bringing all this chaos and all this division, because problem, reaction, solution, because out of their chaos comes the new system. So they're worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars, movie stars. You look at their programming, they always have a star. They're worshiping stars. They want us to worship stars. They want you to worship Taylor Swift, Elvis Presley, whoever they put up for the moment. They'll have a next one, another one next year. Or if it's this or that, because they want you to worship men. They want you to see someone as an idol. And as a young girl, you know, you look in these magazines and, oh, you just want to be like, if you had to do it all over, don't even read those magazines. Don't compare yourself to any of those stars ever, because it's just an empty, dead path. And they make you ashamed. You're not good enough. You got to do this. You got to enhance yourself. You got to do this. You got to do that. You can never accept the age you are. You can't look old. That's what they've done in our culture. You can't look old. People are no good. They're worthless. They're good for nothing. Throw them in a home and shut them up, right? Well, that's not how God sees them. He said, when your hair is white, you're full of wisdom. We should be seeking these people. Yeah. We should be seeking these people, our parents, our grandparents. If you're still blessed to have them, ask them questions now. Because there's a lot of wisdom. They've lived through things. Instead, the young people, they think they know it all. We all went through that phase. We know it. We don't want to ask them. How I wish I had my dad back, I could ask him. How I wish I had my mom back, I could ask her questions. They were traumatized, just trying to make bills and work. And now I see the same thing happening, where kids are working 2 and 3 jobs just to make payments on things. The taxation of everything, insurance, everything is just going sky high by design. As in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. That day and the hour no man knoweth. I don't know why they keep trying to tell everybody this is going to happen, that. You don't know. Nobody knows. Well, some bad times are coming. That means I'm out of here. Well, then what about World War I, World War II? How come God didn't come then? They went through suffering. How about the Korean War, the Vietnam War? We don't know when God said enough is enough. We don't know when the cup of iniquity is full. So we don't even try to figure it out. I don't fight those fights. I don't fight those battles. We have to live every day today. We don't have time to figure out what, okay, is it a flat earth, a round earth, or a triangle earth? Does it really matter? Yes, we've been lied to a lot about things, but don't make those minor things the major things. Some of the most contemptuous, strifeful people fight over these things because they're so proud and arrogant and they think they're right. Who cares in the matter of things? Are you leading people to the Lord, or you just have a religious, Pharisee, proud spirit that has to be right? Some of these things just don't matter, because some of the things aren't real clear. So if he doesn't major on them, why should we? Right? So the day and hour knoweth no man, no angel, but only the Father knows. And as the days of Noah were, Genesis 6, man was wicked, his thoughts were only evil, and the earth was filled with violence. And lastly, in closing, what do we do? 2 Corinthians 4, read that whole chapter. We faint not. How do we not faint? Sometimes we have to shut the TV off. Sometimes we can't watch certain things. You know what? That's going to make me faint. I heard today, okay, 2027 is going to be war. Okay, I don't want to hear that. Is it fear-mongering? Is it really happening? There's some things you don't know if it's truth, if it's war, if it's a rumor of war. But the enemy loves to make fear, shame, and guilt his weapons. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So whenever you start being fearful, I tell this to my granddaughter, just say, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. So this fear isn't from God. Just say it right out loud. God hasn't given me that spirit of fear. So we don't faint. We don't grow weak. We don't pass out, spin out, and lose hope. And sometimes we spin. Sometimes things will happen, especially in the financial realm. When you're so used to taking care of yourself, doing things right, and you do everything right, and then some things are pulled on you that are not fair, that are not just, that are not right, you can spin out because you're worried about the future. And we have to go back to the Lord. My life is not my own. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. We have to trust him when we don't understand. The leaders that are being placed upon us with their rules in different countries, I hear all the things you people are going through as well. And they want the red states and the blue states to fight. And you know what? I believe it's all a bunch of Hoya, because some things never change. Their agendas don't change. Certain things, it's not what they disagree. What are they agreeing on that they're bringing in? What is the agreeing agenda? What are all these different things that they're bringing on? So we don't faint. We don't grow weak. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. We don't manipulate people. We don't make them feel guilty. We don't try to be religious and shame people. We aren't dishonest. We don't lie and we don't deceive. We tell the truth to the best of our ability. And we don't preach ourselves. That takes out 3/4 of the preachers right now. They're always talking about themselves. They're bragging about themselves. They're always talking about this, that, and this, and the other. I used to be friends with a minister that was a big woman. And I'd go in the back and I go, I am just so tired of another story about her. I mean, just like, really? Do you have to tell these stories about? That's not the gospel. We don't preach ourselves. There's no hope. We can give our testimony. We can share by the blood of the Lamb and overcome by the word of our testimony. That should help people. And if you're a survivor, it says over in Isaiah, he's going to send the survivors back into the world. Many of us are survivors. Now you have a testimony, your failures, your whatever you went through. Don't be shamed by it. Start sharing your testimony, because through your testimony, people are going to find truth. They're going to find light. Well, if they went through that, they made it through, I can make it too. It gives hope to the hopeless. But we don't just preach about ourselves to brag. We are troubled on every side. Verse 8, verse 9, we're persecuted. What does that mean? Harassed. Harassment is coming for the Christian. They don't want this Jesus and this one gospel that we're preaching. They want united, everybody together. They want the universal church. Our outward man, it says, is perishing. And it is perishing. But the good news is we're renewed day by day. Oh yeah, the Bible's true there. It's perishing, all right. I don't care how young you want to be. There's coming a day that we all face death. And to face death, we have to know who we believe in, that this earth is not our home. We aren't to fear death. It's a scary thing. It's a grievous thing. To lose someone is the worst thing on earth. But yet through it, we have to walk through. We have to be there for the people that need us. We have to get up, shake ourselves off, and keep going. You survivors of many different things, you got to get up. Somebody needs your testimony. Somebody needs what you have to say on the other side, right? So this outward man is perishing. We can prop it up, pump it up, suck it up. We can do whatever we want, but it's still perishing, right? But we're renewed day by day. You've got to let that inner man grow. Get your faith reborn every day. Read something that's going to cause you to press on. Read something. Stay in the Bible. Stay in something that you know is going to encourage you that day. Because you have to have light every single day. You have to walk in the light. Everything we see is temporary. And that's one of the things I've read about this New Order years and years ago. They love to change everything. They constantly want to keep you unbalanced, unstable. Your phone's this way, now they change the software, now you can't do this anymore, you can't. They love that confusion. Babylon loves confusion. We are to be a light and lead others to Christ. It comes back to, Lord, help us with our first love. We don't want to be like the Laodicean church, that they were so lukewarm and they operated through the opinion of man. We want to walk as you've ordained us to walk. We want to be bold for you. We want to endure whatever comes our way, Lord. You said you'd help us through. So many of you have went through so much trauma, abuse, and chaos. And Father, I just thank you for giving them the strength to forgive, to move forward from their exes that caused and took away all their money, their fortunes, all the witches and warlocks and the occultism in this world. We focus, this world is not our home. So, Father, we thank you for strength to walk every minute, every hour, the Holy Spirit with us, giving us grace and mercy and peace. The enemy wants to take our peace, but I thank you, Father, you give us peace that passes understanding and no man can take it from us. And we give you all these things now. We pray. We all pray. We thank you, Father, our faith is not in ourselves. It's in you. We trust in you to help us walk through this valley of the shadow of death, which we call earth, and what the enemy's plans is. And we pray for you to expose the enemy. Help our loved ones come out of deception. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, the Living in His Presence Church channel on Rumble, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.